What the Actual Fork podcast is co-hosted by two intuitive eating registered dietitians, yours truly, Sammy Previtt, owner of Fine Food Freedom, and Jenna Warner, owner of Happy Strong Healthy.
We can't stand diet culture bullshit and love keeping it real. Our mission is for all humans to believe that they are made for so much more than chasing a smaller body. We are also here to share with you that food can be fun and pleasurable again.
Although we are medical professionals, we are human beings too. We are not afraid to share our deepest, darkest secrets and how many years of our lives were taken by diet culture.
We started this podcast so no human has to feel alone in their journey towards food freedom. So get comfy and join us for a casual combo where you can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and grow.
We are so grateful that you're here. So if you enjoy this podcast and want to connect further, we invite you to follow along on Instagram at @whattheactualforkpod and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to share this message with more and more people. Now, let's get into it.
I've always wanted to just have like a little ASMR, and wait, I'm going to mess this up now. How does that sound?
I heard a crack, but I didn't get to hear the like fizz, you know, the
bummer. And I'm holding my microphone.
Yeah.
I'm just holding my microphone on my chest, and here we go. Welcome back to another episode of What the Actual Fork podcast. Sam, it is 70 degrees here, and I am in a much better mood than I have been in a long time, so I'm realizing that I totally have seasonal depression.
I'm sure all of you people that live in wintry states have seasonal depression. I mean, I can't imagine, like, because obviously I grew up in it. I, you know, went to Penn State from Pittsburgh, moved to Jersey, always was around snow. But, like, I seriously can't put up with it anymore.
It's been just, like, murky and cloudy and chilly. Not, like, cold, but chilly. So yeah. I just feel like this sun right now, even though it's, like, making me squint my eyes while we're recording, is so nice to just be sitting by the window and, like, just – see people outside happy. It's wild. The eclipse was yesterday. Did you guys see any of it in Florida?
I think we had 50%, but like I was sitting by my window working and nothing looked, I mean, I didn't go outside and like try to look at it, but I was like, nothing looks different. Like, you know what I mean?
It got a little bit dark here and I had the glasses, so I got to see it. It was like a cool crescent. It was honestly, it was pretty cool. But like after the eclipse, the power went out on, like, I'm by the beach. So the power went out on Sandy Hook and it killed our entire town. Like a transformer blew. And I was like, is our world coming to an end? Like there's an eclipse. There was an earthquake here, like 3 days ago before the eclipse. And then the power just like randomly went out when it was beautiful outside. I'm like, this is a sign. Like we're done.
And to be clear, it didn't kill all the people in your town. It just,
oh no, killed the power in the town.
You go, it killed the entire town. And I was like, oh, okay. So the solar eclipse happened and then everybody died. Great.
Everybody burned. We might as well have, okay?
I mean, yeah, it was, I, like, Luke and I were talking about it last night, and I was like, I understand it's, like, a big deal and stuff, but I don't know, I couldn't get into it, but I also wasn't in a state that, like, got complete darkness and saw the coverage, so maybe, I forget, when's the next one? It's, like, 2044 or something. I was like, maybe we'll get it then and see. See it then. We'll have a chance.
It's so funny. Well, anyways, do you have a What the Actual Fork moment of the week, month, year?
It's probably what our entire episode's going to be on.
Let's
which
go.
Is the Washington Post ad that dropped on April 3rd, it looks like, at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, it was nice and early over here.
Yes, very early.
I got texts like as soon at like 6:30 a.m. So yeah.
It's so funny because I didn't even know it dropped. And then I had a colleague of ours that I had been messaging with before I talked to the Post, when I was interviewed for the article, who had helped me out. She had DM'd me and told me like, hey, the article's out and you're not in it. And I was like, oh,
what a blessing.
Wow. Yeah. What a blessing. So the article reads, and we will put it in the show notes. The article reads, as obesity rises, big food and dietitians push air quotes, anti-diet advice.
Like, where's my check from Big Food if everybody believes that dietitians are sponsored by Big Food? Like, where's my check?
Truly, where is our check? And I was laughing because my brother fucking sent... Actually, I think my brother might have been the first one to send it to me. He just sent it to me out of nowhere and goes, like, interesting read. And I was like... Oh my God, I don't have time for this shit. Yeah, like, no, thank you. But I guess it came through on his, like, you know, he gets some email.
It's probably on Apple News because that always pops up. And, like, that's a big targeted headline because, like, no matter where you stand in the nutrition space, like, if you actually, as a human being consuming content, like, you see people talking about, I don't even want to call it the anti-diet movement. To be honest with you, I don't even like that name anymore.
Same.
Right? Like, I...
Because which is what I talked a little bit about in my video today.
But like, if you're a human being on social media, like, you've seen a quote-unquote food freedom or anti-diet practitioner talking about, let's just call it what it is, like, the buzzwords of all foods fit and... What's another really good one? Why am I brain dead right now? Staring at the sun.
Well, I feel like just even saying anti-diet.
Right.
And this is what I talked about. I posted a little video kind of responding and I posted
it, was really
it today
good. I
because
it.
Thank you. I was out of town this weekend when so obviously the article dropped on the 3rd and then
Friday,
on
right?
Friday an NBC segment dropped about the post article and I was out of town and I was like, you gotta be fucking shitting me. And so I just was like, I'm gonna come back to this next week. So today I kind of put my thoughts out on it, but that's what I was saying is like, so I spoke to, and I'll just kind of give a briefing and we can riff off of this, but I spoke to, there's 4 people that contributed to the article. I spoke to one of them. Again, she did not use anything I said in the article. She did not quote me. She did not use my content, etc. But we, you know, I remember texting you after I spoke to her and being like, oh, it was like actually like a hope. I don't know if hopeful is the right word, but like it was a better conversation.
I remember being really surprised. I was like, oh, okay. Like maybe this could be good for our field.
Yeah. Because
let's actually make this clear to our audience that this is the second article from the Washington Post in a series of like 3 months, maybe. That is not kind to dietitians on social media slash dietitians in general.
Correct. And so whenever I got the email, and I could read it word for word, I guess I could go back and look, but essentially they said like, we're probably going to put your content in our article. If you want to talk to us, you can. Like that was essentially what they said. And I was like, great. And so, but the way I look at it is like, I have nothing to hide. Like I am very real with everything I post and I'm open to nuance. And if I misspeak or miss something, I'm open to conversations and different opinions, et cetera. So it's like, whatever, like, let's chat. My conversation, like, obviously the article has a lot to do with Big Food, air quotes, aka General Mills, like paying dietitians and kind of, they're trying to say like Big Food is steering dietitians into pushing this anti-diet message of basically like eat our food. That's kind of like what I'm seeing from it. But a lot of what I talked about with the one author or journalist was how we talked a lot about the anti-diet movement and she kept using the words anti-diet. And we had a very in-depth conversation about how there's a big difference between a dietitian who calls themselves anti-diet and a dietitian who is actively using the health at every size principles, is a certified intuitive eating counselor using the evidence-based practice of the 10 evidence-based intuitive eating principles, really immersing themselves in weight inclusive care. And when I chatted with her, I'm always very open on social and anywhere about this, that like I use myself as the example always of like, I used to be this dietitian who was pushing weight management and weight loss and calorie restriction. And when I came over to intuitive eating and air quotes anti-diet, my first exposure is like, and messaging was like, eat all the food, like eat the damn cookie, like because you are going through a transitional period. So not to knock anybody that is in that space, but if the Washington Post wants to be a credible, reputable source, which clearly this article is junk, but like that's what I talk to her a lot about is like, sure, I'm glad you came to me, like, and here's what I can offer you. And I think you're missing the mark if you don't talk to all these other people or all these other professionals or providers or colleagues that reside in marginalized bodies, are very immersed in this work, because any dietitian can say they're anti-diet. That doesn't mean anything. And I think that's where it just, I felt like it was a slap in the face to any of us, like obviously to all dietitians. But then secondly, what my video was more about was like how, as someone who is a weight inclusive provider, and I know you would call yourself that as well, like it feels like a slap in the face. Like we just tell people to like eat all the food. And that's like the one of the biggest myths. And they didn't interview the right people. They didn't take that advice. And then they really just did a disservice to what Health at Every Size, intuitive eating, and weight inclusive care really means.
Okay. Something that makes me very, very happy is when I get a text from somebody who says, I listen to your podcast, and every time you talk about those Cozy Earth sheets, I think to myself, I really need them. And then I don't go and buy them. And then I finally get the text that says, okay, I bought the sheets and you are absolutely correct. They are the best sheets that I've ever slept on. And now I need 5 more.
And not only the sheets, which we've talked about for months and months at this point, but you and I were both like flabbergasted with excitement over these towels they sent.
Oh my God.
By the way, I don't let my husband use them because like they're mine. Like I love them so much. And with baby number 2 around the corner, we've been, you know, getting things ready for the hospital bag. And I was like, this is a must. First of all, I could probably like sleep with the towel and it would be comfier than any blanket you could bring. But to bring that for like the first postpartum shower is just gonna, again, make that hospital stay feel luxurious and something to look forward to. And
you're,
I know,
turning
you're
your hospital room into a spa.
I'm trying. I'm truly trying to. And I know you're obsessed with the towels. Have this little, like, what is it? Like a
hook. It's like a hook.
It's
a hook sewn in. I've literally never seen that before.
It is the best thing because there is nothing worse than when you use a towel, it falls off the hook and you like come back into the bathroom, you know, hours later or whatever. And then like your soaking wet or like damp towel is like balled up on the floor. It
and
disgusts
it gets that
me.
Smell.
Yeah.
Yes. No. I've literally never seen any other brand do this before. And when I took it out of the box, I was like, is this a towel hook? Like it fits perfectly on the hook that I have outside of my shower. And so it's going to let my towel actually dry in between uses. Like
I feel
amazing.
Like you see that in robes all the time, but never
yes,
in a
never
towel.
Never on a towel. Never.
Yes. So if you want to try the amazing Cozy Earth products that we are obsessed with, you can head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code FORK, that's FORK, for an exclusive 35% off your entire order. Again, that's CozyEarth.com. Use promo code FORK for 35% off.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think here's a couple pieces that like, as I was watching people respond to the article and reading the article myself, like the more times that I read it, the madder I got. Because at first I was like, you know, this could have been worse. And then I read it like a couple more times and I was like, this is not great for many, many reasons. But as somebody who personally does partner with brands quite often, I first and foremost only partner with brands that I trust and only partner with brands that I align with their morals and values, and same with us on this podcast, right? But I think something that really upset me is they're going after these foods companies saying, like, you partner with dietitians, like, why are you doing that? Or like making it seem like it's bad to do so, when the reality is that, like, if they were to partner with just a Joe Schmo like Flav City on social media, why doesn't he have any like repercussions from taking a partnership with a company? Like, I don't understand that piece at all. And the reality is that people come to registered dietitians to learn how to fuel and nourish their body. And with that conversation comes the, hey, like, what do you enjoy if you were to eat a XYZ meal or a quick meal for dinner? Like, can you give me some ideas? And in that conversation, we are talking about brands, right? Brands that we like, brands that we know, brands that we trust, brands that we enjoy, brands that are affordable, that are accessible, brands that are easy to make food meals out of, et cetera. And with that said, I think it's a wonderful thing that some of these brands are saying, like, hey, registered dietitians backing our company, saying that, you know, they're accessible, they're affordable, they're delicious, they're healthy, they're nutrient dense, they're fun. There are any of the buzzwords or words that would describe how you would talk to a client about food. Like, let's recognize them and create some content together so more people can see how this dietitian uses, I think Bonza was listed in the article, can use Bonza pasta, which I personally use 3 times a week, right? So that piece of it was super upsetting to me. And then I think Andy Does Healthy is her handle. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with her on many levels. I think what she does on the internet is incredible, the way she puts content out there. She said something like, of all the heavy air quotes, ultra processed foods out there, like, why the F are we slamming cereal? Like, yes. First of all, you're pregnant. Like, does cereal taste just like so freaking good while you're pregnant, but also when you're not pregnant? Like, there's just so many ways that it just goes to show you like where the reporters align with, because Bobby recently put out an article or a post saying, like, you think cereal's so good for you and it's so cheap. Well, let's compare it to ground chicken. Like, it's not the same, because ground chicken, you have to cook. Some people don't have access to being able to cook. It's not the same because it's a completely different like flavor profile, texture type of food in general. Like, it's not comparing apples to apples here. And cereal is something that most can afford / have access to. So as registered dietitians, if we have the ability to show people like, hey, here's how you can make a bowl of cereal a complete meal, make it a little bit more nutrient dense, make it satisfying, make it more delicious for you, make it something that the whole family can enjoy, make a meal out of it, like for real, instead of like, I just get flashbacks to like the Special K diet, like that wasn't a meal, but we can make it a meal, right? If we can help somebody do that and also reduce the shame around enjoying cereal, like, why is that a bad thing? And I put out a piece of content that did decently well, got a lot of conversation going, that said there's a big difference between telling somebody that they're allowed to eat cereal and telling somebody to only eat cereal. And I think that's what people do not understand. And that's what people are trying to say. Like, this dietitian said I could eat cereal, but like, did she say you should have cereal for every single meal and snack for the rest of your life? Because I'm pretty sure she didn't. Like, she said you're not a bad person if you enjoy cereal and you can make it a little bit more nutrient dense, right? So like, a bowl of Cheerios by itself is going to keep you full for 5 minutes. But if we add peanut butter or protein on the side or protein in it with some protein powder and some berries and some higher fat milk, you know, that could keep you full for a lot longer, right? So I think like that's part of the education piece and the nutritional science that some of the bigger names in the quote unquote anti-diet space may not talk about enough. That nutrition science is a principle of intuitive eating. I know that for a fact. And it is something that is a huge responsibility of registered dietitians to teach people. Because if we don't, who will? So those are two things. And then my third piece of it is I saw a piece of content that somebody put out that said most anti-diet dietitians are negligent because they don't even acknowledge the fact that something along the lines of like excess body fat or weight, using the O word, is connected to certain disease states. And what I will say to that, as a registered dietitian, where we, you know, have so much schooling and so much responsibility to do no harm to our patients, what the only thing that I will respond to with that statement is that correlation is not causation.
And just wrote that down in a circle note.
But I have it in my notes right here on our little screen. But I think that is the biggest thing here, is that as registered dietitians, and I know in our practice and with the training that I do with my dietitians on our team, is if somebody comes to us and says, like, I have a weight loss goal, or my doctor told me I have to lose weight, or whatever it is, we're not going to shame them for that. But we're going to say, hey, we're not going to focus on that as the goal. We're going to focus on the behaviors that you actually can control and let your body do what it needs to do or what it wants to do to feel its safest. Sometimes that involves weight loss, sometimes weight gain, sometimes it stays the same, right? And so as true registered dietitians in this anti-diet whatever space, like, it makes me mad now to say that word, I think most people aren't recognizing the fact that we are doing this work with people, but helping them improve their health with a separation from a hyperfixation and focus on their body, which is detrimental to their mental health.
Mm.
Okay, I hit all my notes.
Love it.
All right. I think that this is a theme a lot of the times, Sam, when we talk about products and things that we love, is that the simpler, the better. When you have children and when you have multiple children, even more. I think by the time that I get to my nighttime routine, I have a lot less time these days because I'm ready to jump into bed. And that is one of the main reasons why I love OneSkin, because it's not a complicated routine. It's no multi-step protocols. It's simple, scientific, and validated solutions. If you're not familiar with OneSkin, the secret in OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide is the key. It's the first ingredient that's proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back up this claim. I've been using their products for a while now, and I am loving it. Like I said, the simplicity is everything, but I'm also loving the way that it feels on my skin. Don't just take my word for it, though, because OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and they were just recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FORK, that's FORK, at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code FORK. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. So please give love and support to What the Actual Fork and let them know that we sent you. There's like so many issues with this article, right? But the first thing is, like, why do they have a problem with dietitians getting paid? Like, we have a moral, like, ethical fucking contract of what we, you know, follow, a code of ethics. And I think about, like, an analogy of, like, an athlete, right? Like, an athlete can be paid by Nike to wear Nike and talk about why they...
So much more than what we get paid.
So much more. But, like, that's a huge piece of this is, like, if I accept money for which I didn't have a contract with General Mills. I never had, but General Mills call us. But like if I had been paid by General Mills to talk about Cheerios and how cereal fits into a great snack or meal option, nothing would change with my content. Nothing would be different. Nothing.
Correct.
Literally nothing other than using the word Cheerios other than cereal. And so that is, like, so problematic in and of itself. You touched on, like, the privilege and accessibility of cereal and how so much of what we talk about, you know, is that food is a privilege and we live in this world of restriction and dieting and bullshit of cutting things out. So the fact that, you know, cereal is such an easy thing. I believe it's, I would assume General Mills is a part of WIC. You can, should, I'm I don't sure. know if you need to fact I feel check like
when,
that.
When we worked at ShopRite, I remember seeing that on the sticker, on the tag, at the very least for Cheerios.
Exactly. So thinking about like some of the, you know, lower income populations, the accessibility to simple, easy carbs, not only for their families, but especially like kiddos and getting that energy in. And then as dietitians, like you said, like we talk about the ways to balance things. Like I love cereal, but I also love adding protein into it, right? Or fat or fiber or fun ways to talk about how you can use such a simple convenience item and bulk up the meal to nourish your body, sustain your body, you know, long-lasting fuel, all those things. So I think that there's like that portion of the article. But then what was, you know, I'm on it now and a part of it says like misled by anti-diet messages. And this was something that, you know, I wish I recorded my conversation with them. I could have leaked some of the stuff. I know they recorded it, so maybe they'll leak it. But I remember them, I remember a part of the conversation, they were like using different excerpts of these people's stories about how when they did intuitive eating or anti-diet and worked with an anti-diet dietitian, they just gained a shit ton of weight and ate everything. And that's the narrative that they're showing in this. And don't get me wrong, sometimes weight gain is necessary for a full recovery from an eating disorder. But like you said before, we're going to be working with someone on their behaviors physically, mentally, and emotionally, and their body's going to end up where it's at. And this is where this is where I kind of, I don't want to say pigeonholed, but really went down a hole on my social of like, you should have talked to the professionals. If you're going to try to bash anti-diet dietitians, then I want you to talk to the leaders. And I'm not saying me, I'm saying like, I want the people that are, you know, the head of ASDA, the, you know, they're Hayes dietitians, they're, talk to Evelyn and Elise and only quote them on intuitive eating. They freaking founded it. And they did mention them in the article very briefly. They had,
it wasn't clear if they were quoted or just like talked about.
Exactly. They told me, and I'm sure I could, you know, release this, the woman that interviewed me said that she spoke to both of them. But the way that the article is perceived, none of their quotes. Clear. And I know Evelyn's character. I know her very well from a lot of interaction virtually. And I know that she was saying similar things that I was saying in the sense of like, talk to people that are in marginalized bodies, talk to people that are leading the fat positive movement. Don't go on Instagram and look up hashtag anti-diet or hashtag food freedom and pull the most viral videos you see, because that's where you're going to get the hooks. Like, I'm an anti-diet dietitian. Of course, I'm going to tell you to eat everything, because that's what pissed me off is I had these conversations and I know at least two other colleagues that I'm not going to drag in names that aren't listed had conversations and none of that was brought into the article. So they cherry picked which dietitians looked a certain way to make our entire profession look like we're just telling people to eat everything. And it pisses me off.
Yeah. I mean, that was perfectly said. And I think the bottom line is just like in every single field, there are people that are on entire, I think it, what is his name? Ben Carpenter did a post that was actually like very, and he's like a fitness guy. His wife is a fitness girl who is also recovering from an eating disorder, I believe, and posts a lot of like, food freedom-esque ish in the fitness content, space, yeah, type content. But he posted something that was like, there are extremists in every single field, right? So like there are extremists in the nutrition field as well. People that go all the way anti, you know, diet, eat whatever you want and don't care about anything and don't understand the true meaning of the word. And then there's people far on the other side, you know, weight loss at any cost, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And the reality is that there are I don't want to say bad, but there are bad dietitians on each side of that.
Oh, right? For sure. Like, I mean, there are people every that aren't profession, doing it right,
quote unquote. And I'm not saying that I do it perfectly, but
no, that's what I said in my content. And thank you for saying that. Cause that's not us saying like, we would have, if you just would have used my quote, right. This article
definitely not
good.
Mine.
No, like I don't even want to be in the article, no. But that's what I was trying to tell them is like, here's who you need to talk to.
Right.
If you want this article to be the best that it can. And I know you know and love Fiona Sutherland, who we interviewed years ago. We should have her back on because so much has changed. She actually put out a video this morning that it's National Dietitian Week, I think in Australia, because she's a dietitian in Australia. And she put up, she said she's like putting on her cranky, sassy pants today. I don't know if it was related to this article, but I did comment on it and we kind of went back and forth. But she was just saying like, when a major news outlet reaches out to you and is asking things about intuitive eating, health at every size, weight inclusive care, pass the mic. Pass the fucking mic. And that's, I think, what makes me angry is because I didn't know if they were going to use stuff from me. But even as someone who is a certified intuitive eating counselor, and I would say is like very entrenched in this, when I have national news segments or posts, whatever, reaching out, that is always a part of the conversation. And I don't know if that was something that some of our profession said, but and I guess it doesn't matter because they obviously wouldn't have probably showcased it anyways. But I think that's what's like really, it's so hard right now. And you and I talk about this all the time on air, off air, is like, being a dietitian is really fucking tricky right now because so many people are feeling like they need to like call themselves, whether you're anti-diet or intuitive eating or weight, like, you know, all these things. And it's just, it makes it, that's what's like infuriating me is if we all could just step forward and like, if you're not a weight inclusive provider, then stop talking about it. Like, don't say like, say, here's some weight inclusive providers that you can talk to.
I've changed my, I think, I don't even know where it was. I think I changed it on TikTok maybe to just realistic dietitian.
There you go.
There's nothing else that describes me more. like I give up.
I give up dietitian. Like, that should be it.
The fucking
and again,
dietitian.
And it's, you don't have to be in a camp. Like, you know, right. You don't have to. But I think if a national news outlet is going to reach out to you about something very like and ask you about health at every size and you can't name the health at every size principles, then you shouldn't be speaking on it. Plain and simple. Mm. And I know that like, because then if you think about it, like it's going to get misconstrued.
Right.
And so that's where I think this article is just, it's a shit storm. It's a shitstorm on many levels.
And it's very sad.
It's not like the post is even on our side anyways, because I don't know how many of the people on the article were saying like, pass the mic to these people.
Right.
And they didn't listen anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
And I do just want to make it very, very clear that I personally, I'm not going to speak for you, but I would love to know your thoughts on this too while we wrap this up. But like, I don't agree with everything that the food industry quote unquote does. Like, I'm not pro food industry at all costs, right? Like, I think there's a lot that we're still learning and that we are, you know, trying to figure out and navigate. But I do know that the best place to figure out truth about foods and I don't know, everything else is not social media, where somebody can post anything and it can go absolutely viral without any validity behind it, right? And I think that is part of this conversation, because I think in the article they even said, like, if you search the hashtag, the first thing that comes up is like ice cream. Like, yes. Okay, cool. Like, that's fine. Is that, like, what does that mean though, right? Does it mean that the people are using it incorrectly? Does it mean that they're searching incorrectly? Does it mean that ice cream is the only thing in connected to health at every size? Like, yeah. There's so many things that were just left as like a do what you want with this statement type of sentence that it, of course, really riles people up. And what I don't think the Post realizes is that registered dietitians that they quoted in the first article that came out, and let's talk about that one just briefly. Like, those dietitians are out there putting out content that helps all sorts of people.
Yes.
And that article brought a lot of backlash to those dietitians specifically, but also dietitians in general. And it's making people lose trust. Not that their article has had this like large impact on making people lose trust. I think social media has done that in general. But I think the reality is that if you want to pick on somebody, pick on the creator that I watched to do a TikTok last night. She literally was like, let's make a, what was it called? A healthy colon girl mocktail or something like that. Or like, it was literally like she was pouring prune juice and laxatives in a wine glass and topping it with lemon LaCroix and saying, when you wake up in the morning, you will shit yourself. And like, literally like that. Like, I have the recording. We should play it.
I think we should launch it. But, I think it should be a hard launch.
But it was like, it was essentially like a colon broom cocktail that you drink at night. Like, hey girlfriend, why don't you, instead of that, maybe eat some more food, maybe eat some fiber, maybe drink some more water, and not tell people to do this, because what's going to happen is people are now going to be sucking down laxatives, ruining their digestive systems, waking up in the morning shitting themselves, but maybe like losing some water weight and saying it's healthy, quote unquote. Like, it's not. And like, that's the problem right now, is that social media gives anybody a platform. But these articles pick on the dietitians that are truly trying to make an impact and a difference.
You're right.
And it's really hard.
Great point. It's a great point. And I feel like we almost could do like an episode part two on the first article, because I know that article was
different. We never really
different.
Did that.
Yeah, that one was definitely different of like what they, as in like the Post, was trying to get across. And I know there were some dietitians that, a lot of dietitians in that article that you and I are very fond of.
Yeah. But also the girl said that when she was drinking the prune juice, it tasted like caramel. So like, also,
no, it didn't.
like it didn't. It absolutely didn't. So like, that's the thing that I think really drives me like the most bananas, is like, people can say anything. She was a beautiful girl with like glowy skin and pretty hair, and now people are going to be sucking down prune juice. Okay. So that's the last thing I'll say.
Hey, I'm with you. I feel like somehow, some way, because of the name of our podcast and all of the What the Actual Fork moments that we cover, we always bring it back to bullshit on the internet and how, like, make sure you have a credible source, like all of these things. And so, yeah, I'm glad we had the ability to talk about it today and to touch on it. And we'll see if the Washington Post is just going to keep on digging their nails in on dietitians. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what. I think Shayna, the nutrition tea, she did a recap video about how the one author on this, the second article that came out, he has like two intentional weight loss books that he. So it's like, oh, like, no shit. Like, they're extremely fat phobic people and they're pushing. So it's like, there's an agenda at play here, but I mean, damn.
I'm so sad.
It already feels like we're screaming and nobody's listening. Like, and now it just feels like people have, I don't know, people have no idea what we're saying, and it's just so misconstrued.
And I think the last thing that I will say is, like, if you personally don't align with a mindset or a lifestyle or I don't know, whatever you want to call it, of not dieting, then don't follow, don't follow along, don't listen. But and that's okay, because there are plenty of people out there that will help you in a way that, you know, aligns best with you. I think we say this a lot, like we don't have to be everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay because there's so many different varieties out there. At my core, I believe that the work we do is truly helping people, and it's okay if not everybody sees that at this moment in time. I believe that there is a time in everybody's life where they will be in a situation or see a loved one or a friend or somebody in a situation where the impacts of dieting and diet culture and the consistent pursuit of intentional weight loss hurts somebody that they're connected to. And then maybe then they will see that there is another way, and that's it.
Yeah. I love that. Well, and I think you had said this before when you had said, like, I'm not, you know, pro food industry, and I'm not in a sense like pro anything, right? I think it's like pro curiosity. Like anyone that lives in a camp that's like, I am right, you are wrong, there is no nuance, that's concerning. So to just be curious about how you feel when you read these articles, to have a second opinion, to not listen to this in the sense and be like, this is the word, this is the way, this is it. And I think that's why, like, we're so passionate about bringing up like the nuance to this conversation, because they make it feel like it's, this is what's happening. These are what these dietitians are doing. They're getting paid. They're pushing this. They want America to be obese, heavy air quotes. So
I always go back to something that you said in our Crunchy Mom episode, and it has stuck with me personally. And I would love to know if any of our listeners go back to this sentence as well, where when the girl wrote you that DM and said, keep America sick, honey, or whatever she said in that beautiful voice, I'm sure. I always come back to the fact that's like, there's many kinds of sick, but the sick that she's talking about and the sick that we work against is very, very different. Mm-hmm. And the word healthy means something different to every single person. And so to have an argument about that is just silly. Like, because the reality is, if you want to go head to head on it, like, let's talk about eating disorders. Let's talk about mental health. Let's talk about the connection of food to mental health. Let's talk about the obsessive thoughts about food in your nervous system. Let's talk about how your gut and your brain are connected. Like, let's talk about your microbiome. You want to throw out big words? Let's talk about them, right? Like, there's a lot to say. And we could probably each argue our own thoughts and facts, you know, until we're blue in the face. And that's why simply stating that health is a personal definition is the only way to get out of that argument with the other side, right?
Yeah. And there's, like you said, there's no reason to argue when seeing.
I'm not saying I want to.
No, I know. No, and you had said that. You're like, there's no reason to, because we're saying completely different things. We're using the same words, but we're saying completely different things. So totally. Well, I'm glad we got to talk about this,
because I too. Felt that went
like
by fast.
Yeah. And I just felt like it's just a pain in the ass and something that keeps coming up. So we will keep you all posted if there's any more Washington Post articles. But thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of What the Actual Fork Pod. We know there are a lot of pods out there, and we are so grateful that you are here listening with us.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, like, share with all of your friends and faves, and don't forget to rate and review and let us know what you want to hear more of. The more we hear from you, the more that we can make these episodes exactly what you want. We would also love to connect with you on Instagram at WhatTheActualForkPod.
We promise to continue to bring you the hottest topics, greatest guests, and the most fun you can possibly have fighting diet culture bullshit. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week for more fun.